prophet of the book Isaiah, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you, all assembled and have come to you, your sons from afar, and your daughters are carried on the arm. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth of the seas will be brought to you. To you the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land, young camels from Midia and Ephraim, and from Sheba will come, and all from Sheba will come bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Let us read Psalm 72 responsively. Endow the king with your justice, O God, the royal son with your righteousness. Judge your people with righteousness. The mountains will bring prosperity to the people, the hills of fruit of righteousness. Afflicted and save the children of the needy, he will crush the odds. He will endure as long as the sun, as long as the moon, through all generations. It will be like rain falling on mown field, like showers watering the earth. In his days the righteous will flourish, prosperity will abound till the moon is no more. The desert tribes will bow before him, his enemies will lick the dust. All kings will bow down to him, and all nations will serve him. He will take pity on the weak and the needy. He will save the needy from death. Long may he live. May gold from Sheba be given him. May people ever pray for him and bless him all day long. May his name endure forever. May it continue as long as the sun. All nations will be blessed through him, and they will call him blessed. Praise be to his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The second reading is written in the Epistle of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you, that is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insights into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to man in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit of God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together of the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace, given to me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of God's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make it plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for the past was hid was kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and to the authorities in heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Glory to you, O Lord. St. Matthew writes, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. I might add to Frank's comments one that Mother Teresa of Calcutta once made. She was asked how she managed to deal with the poorest of the poor and care for the dying and the hungry and so on, and she said, "I do it one person at a time." What a sight this is. Wise men from the east. I love the sound of that. It sounds so exotic, provided that it doesn't refer to like New York City or something. Wise men from the east. Magoi is the word that Matthew actually uses. It gives us our word magi. Philosophers, scientists of a sort, astrologers probably. Not astronomers the way we think of astronomers who are studying the movement of planets and stars and so on for scientific purposes, but astrologers who watched the heavens to look for portents of God at work in the world. Learned people, certainly, apparently they have included in their reading the Hebrew scriptures, certainly they have read the books of the prophets. How many? Matthew doesn't say, but tradition says that there are three and have given them names Melchior, Gaspar, and Balthazar, the names of the Magi. And famous these three are too. I think there have been more stories written about these wise men from the East, these Magi, than any other biblical characters besides Jesus himself, given the rise to a whole body of stories and plays and novels because they're such intriguing, exotic figures, these Magi, kneeling, doing homage, and giving gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh to whom? A child, an infant child. These are the kinds of gifts you would give to a great king, to a great emperor, to gain favor. Certainly not to a child, but they give their gifts to this infant child. What a sight this is! Who would have imagined it? What could prompt such well-to-do, such intelligent, such busy people of means as these Magi to drop whatever it was they were doing back home in the East? Now, Matthew does not say where the East is. It might be Persia or India, or some have said even China is a possibility. And make their way to a grubby little town in a remote Roman province. Bethlehem is not the center of the world by any means. It is a grubby little town in the remote Roman province, but here the Magi come. All for the sake of honoring not a mighty king, not a great teacher, not another Magos, but a child. An infant child. Behavior that is extreme even for grandparents. Yes, I have seen grandparents ooh and ah, right, over the grandchild, especially the first grandchild, yes. Extraordinary, but this is even more so. What a sight. What a sight. What could these Magoi, these Magi, these wise men from the East be seeking beneath the star that guides them to Bethlehem? What are they looking for? What are they after? Are they looking for assurance against the doubts that assail them? Are they seeking healing for ailments that afflict them? Are they hoping for comfort for sorrows that burden them? Are they seeking nourishment for the hungers that drive them? These are, despite their wealth and their learning, ordinary people like us. They experience these things. Is that what they're looking for? And what do they actually find? There's the real question. What do they actually find when they enter the house marked by the star? Do they find the fulfillment of their heart's desires? Do they find the satisfaction for their deepest longings? Do they find food and drink sufficient to ease their hungers and sustain their lives? What do the wise men find? Well, Matthew tells us they find Jesus. Jesus only recently born, Jesus clothed in whatever passes for diapers in those days, Jesus probably nursing at his mother's breast. What a sight. What a sight. The wise men find Jesus, who will in his time strike terror in the hearts of mighty kings. Witness already, Herod is terrified of the possibilities that Jesus brings, and is even willing to dispatch an army to go and kill all the children in the village to get rid of him. Jesus, who will show great teachers the error of their ways. Jesus, who will make wise people foolish and foolish people wise. The wise men find Jesus. That's all. They find Jesus, who will stand beside them against every doubt. Jesus, who will sit by them through every ailment. Jesus, who will be present with them in every sorrow, who will become food and drink for them, who will offer his own body and blood to be their source of life. That is what the wise men find. Which is all well and good for the wise men, but what about us? Because we are not they. What could prompt us in our time, well-to-do or not, intelligent or not, always busy whether we have means or not, poor or rich, it doesn't matter, we're all scurrying around. What could prompt us to drop whatever it is that we are doing for the moment to do homage to this Jesus? Might it be our own need for assurance against the doubts that assail us? We have plenty of doubts on hand to assail us. Persistent talk of war with Iraq that just does not seem to go away. I think, again, I spotted it on the front page of today's paper. The unfinished business in Afghanistan. That's pretty much out of the headlines, yes, but that whole conflict is not over. The continuing threat of terror at home. I was just flying through, you know, airports yesterday on my way back here, and there was still, you know, lots of heightened security and all manner of anxiety about what are you bringing on the plane and blah, blah, blah. A shaky economy. I mean, it wasn't all that bad of a year, but things are still, you know, if you watch interest rates and so forth, they're down somewhere underneath the floor at this point, yes? That's a shaky economy, and it affects a lot of people. A future that is forever unpredictable. That's probably the most infuriating thing about the future, is that it is wholly unpredictable. No wonder we have doubts and fears about it, yes? When we don't know what's coming. Might it be our own longing for relief of the ailments that afflict us or afflict the people we love? We certainly have an ample supply of ailments to go around too, do we not? Cancer, heart disease, diabetes, fragile bones, addictions of various kinds. If we wanted to, just in this room, we could assemble a very long list of ailments. If we thought about not only ourselves, but all the people we know, it would be a very long list. Might it be our own anguish over the sorrows that touch us or touch our families or our friends? And there are plenty of those too. Broken relationships of various kinds, lost jobs, lost property, sorrow over death itself, which leaves no one untouched. I suspect if I did one of my informal polls, you know, and were to ask you, has anyone that you have known or care about ever died? Chances are all hands would be raised. Yes? Death touches us all. Might it be our own hunger for life, our hunger for joy, our hunger for hope, our thirst for a sense of purpose and meaning? Everyone wants a sense of purpose and meaning in life. Might it be our longing to know who we are and what we are about? Might that be what we are seeking? Any of those, all of those at the same time. And what then do we actually find as we follow the star that guides the Magoi, that guides the Magi? What do we find as we follow that star? Well, Matthew tells us we find Jesus just as the Magi do. We find Jesus no longer born, no longer newly born, Jesus no longer freshly diapered, Jesus no longer nursing at his mother's breast. We find Jesus grown to full humanity and familiar in himself with our human doubts and our human ailments and our human sorrows. There is nothing in our lives that is alien to Jesus. That's probably the linchpin of Christian faith and life, for me at least, is that there is nothing in our lives that is alien to Jesus. We find Jesus embracing our hungers, embracing our struggles, embracing our pains, embracing even our death. That's the other linchpin of Christian faith and life for me, that Jesus embraces even our death. We find Jesus becoming our assurance, Jesus becoming our healing, Jesus becoming our comfort, Jesus himself becoming our nourishment. When we follow that star of the Magi, we find Jesus pouring himself over us in water. We find Jesus offering himself, his body and blood, in bread and cup. We find Jesus, our God, standing beside us, Jesus, our God, sitting by us, Jesus, our God, present with us, ever and always our source of life. No matter what we face, we find Jesus, ever and always our source of life. What a sight! What a sight this is! Who would have imagined it? No wise man, surely, nor a wise woman either, but only our wise God, who overwhelms us with joy on this Epiphany. So let everyone say Amen.